one scripture that I want to preach about today. It's in John chapter 1, verse 29. Chapter 1, verse 29. The scripture says this. This is John preparing the way for Jesus. He said, "The next day John seeth Jesus coming." That's a good day when you see Jesus. "And saith, Behold, the Lamb of God. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." Amen. Could you put your Bibles down just for a moment? Lord, we love you. God, we praise you. Anoint the word of God today. Lord, anoint my lips, God, that you would bring it forth like you've put it in my heart and my spirit today. God, bless every person under the sound of my voice, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I've received many confirmations about this message. One came in the form of a text. And I just received this text over my phone. It says, "One greater has stepped into the city." One greater has stepped into the city. And I believe that. And I believe that through the vision and the power, the anointing that Pastor has been given by the Holy Ghost, that there is one greater that has stepped into the city of Hearst. And he has all power, and he has all dominion, and he has all authority. And we are about to see his power and his dominion and authority come to pass in the city of Hearst. But I would submit to you today that one greater has stepped in this very room. He's not just overseeing the city. He's not just walking around. But one greater has stepped into our midst today. And his name is Jesus Christ. And he has all power and authority over your personal life, just like he does over the city. The Bible says that your hairs are numbered. He knows everything going on in your mind right now. The Lamb of God has stepped into the room, and behold, he has come to take away the sins of the world. He has come to take away everything that binds you, everything that distracts you, everything that hinders you, everything that you pray for. He is here to take that away in Jesus' name today. Exodus chapter 3 or chapter 12 verse 3 says this, "Speak ye," this was Moses, this was the Passover lamb, this was the Old Testament literal Lamb of God that they sacrificed on the Passover day. It says about that lamb, "Speak ye unto the congregation of Israel, saying that in the 10th day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers." A lamb for a house. And if, I love this part of scripture, "if the household be too little for the lamb." If the house is too little for the lamb, "let him and his neighbor next unto him, unto his house, take it according to the number of souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb." In the Amplified Version, it's a little bit clearer. It says, "Till all the congregation of Israel on the 10th day of this month, they are to take a lamb or young goat for themselves according to the size of the household of which he is the father. A lamb or young goat for each household. Now, if the household is too small for the lamb to be consumed, let him and his next door neighbor take one according to the number of people in the households, according to what each man can eat. You are to divide the lamb, and your lamb or young goat shall be perfect without blemish or bodily defect, and make a male a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats." And so the lamb was typology. It was a Old Testament literal representation of the Lamb of God that we see John preparing the way for. This was a biblical literal representation of Jesus Christ himself. Isaiah 53:7 says, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb unto the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Of course, that is talking about Jesus Christ. Revelation 17:14 says, these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. Say, he shall overcome them. Amen. Say, I know the end of the book. Amen. Whatever battle you're fighting today, just flip to the end of the book and look at where the Lamb overcomes them, and there's your victory. Look at where the blood overcomes them, and you found your victory. Just believe what the Word of God says, and it says that you have the victory within you. Amen. And the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords, Brother Williams, and King, singular, of kings. And they that are with him are called. Say, I'm called. And they are chosen. Say, I have been chosen. And they are faithful. If you've been brought out, and if you have a revelation of the Lamb of God and the power of his blood and the power of his Spirit, it says that you are called and you are chosen and you are faithful. Are you thankful for that today? Hallelujah. Praise God. Revelations 13:8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The Bible says that Jesus was not slain for, as most people say, the foundation of the world. He was slain from the foundation of the world. That means that when God brought this world into existence, in his mind, in the Logos, in his plan before eternity, he had already thought about the Lamb. He had already thought about the Lamb being the sacrifice. He had already thought about your sin and mine. He had already thought about my shortcomings. He had already thought about how I would fall. He had already thought about my addictions. He had already thought about my chains. He had already thought about my shortcomings and my anxiety, my depression, and all of those things that we battle. And he says, no, from the beginning of time, I am going to make a plan. From the beginning of time, I have a lamb that I have planned and set aside to be slain from the foundation of the world. So I can have my called, and I can have my chosen. And I'm here to tell you today, if you want to be a part of the called, if you want to be a part of the chosen, join with the Lamb today. Get his blood covering your life today. Be filled with the Spirit of God today. And get your name in the Lamb's book of life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's some things about the Lamb that I want to talk about today. I feel the authority of God in this place. Could we just for a moment just lift our hands right now? I feel the Holy Ghost beginning to move in this place. Oh, Lamb of God, right now. God, begin to soften minds and soften hearts right now, Lord Jesus. Oh, begin to do a work right now, oh God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel the presence of God. Oh, Jesus. The Lamb had to have his blood shed. In the sacrifice of the Lamb in the Old Testament, there was the shedding of blood. And that is the blood, I believe Pastor preached about this on Father's Day. It is that precious blood that covered the lintel and the doorposts. And it signified to the death angel that was flying over that this house had been protected by the blood of the Lamb. that this house had made the appropriate sacrifice and covered themselves with the blood and the representation of Jesus Christ. And so when the death angel passed over Egypt, they were given a pass. But Jesus took it to a new level because he revealed himself in the New Testament as the Lamb of God. And he said that it was the same blood that was on that doorpost and the same blood that you covered your house with, I possess in my body. He said in Matthew 26 and 28, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. The blood, it was the covering and the protection in the Old Testament, but the blood was the remission and the cleansing in the New Testament. The blood represents the cleansing power of Jesus Christ. It represents the covering of Jesus Christ. It represents the protection of Jesus Christ. Colossians 1 and 13 says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption. How? Through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. And I'm here to tell somebody, you've come in bound and you've looked at Jesus and he's walked down your aisle. And I feel like in your spirit you've said, Lord, this is great for them, but I've gone too far. I've sinned too much. You don't understand what I've done. I'm telling you that Jesus Christ looked into your life before you were ever born. He knew you were going to fall before you fell. He knew that you were going to be hopeless before you ever got hopeless. I know the power of Jesus because I was hopeless when I walked in this place. I had depression on me when I walked in here. And I'm telling you that when the blood of Jesus covered my flesh, when I went down in the waters of baptism, depression fell off of me. Anxiety fell off of me. My thoughts about myself began to be pure again. My joy was restored. My happiness became fulfilled, and it was because of the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 The blood can restore you today. It can restore you. Which sometimes, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20, were disobedient. That was me. When once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is eight, were saved by water. The like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but what? An answer of a good conscience towards God. There is a method. By the resurrecting power of Jesus Christ. It was through faith that the Bible says we are saved. And it's through faith in Jesus Christ, because when that blood was shed and when that water was made available, that water is the representation of the blood of Christ that takes away every sin, every problem, every issue. It can remove it today, not cover it, not sweep it under the rug. You can be clean from east to the west. The Bible says from the east to the west is how your sins are separated under the blood. Amen. Hebrews 9 and 22, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood, there is no remission. Acts 2, Acts 8, Acts 10, Acts 19, and more. They were all covered with the blood of Jesus through baptism. And in all cases, in every case of baptism, it was done in the name of Jesus Christ. But I've got to tell you today that they weren't just dreaming up a philosophy. This wasn't just something that they pulled out of the air. When they called upon the name of Jesus, they had the realization that they were going all the way back to the Old Testament. They were going all the way back to that typological lamb and the blood that was shed from that lamb that God was trying to show them thousands of years ago. They got that vision in their mind of that blood covering that doorpost. And when they called on the name of Jesus, they realized that it wasn't just any blood, and it wasn't just any water, and it wasn't just a baptismal formula or the words that you called. All of that's important. But at the end of the day, what mattered was that the blood covered the life of a sinner, that the blood washed somebody free of everything that bound them, that the blood covered them. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. But you can't get the blood without the sacrifice of the flesh. You cannot have the blood without the sacrifice of the flesh. I know that because just like that lamb in the Old Testament was the type and shadow of Jesus Christ to come, there was a law made about that lamb, that when it was sacrificed, God required that the lamb, the flesh of that lamb, be consumed. The blood was not free. It was required, even in the literal sacrifice of the lamb. Don't throw this out your front door. Don't throw this in the garbage can. Don't just pull the blood and cover your doorpost with it and leave the rest. No, you've got to consume this lamb. It's got to be consumed. Exodus 12 and 9, eat not of it raw, nor sodden it all with water, but roast with fire his head with his legs and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it until the morning, you shall burn with fire. Why did he require that? Because he wanted them to understand, hey, this blood, this precious blood of this lamb, I'm trying to show you a picture of something that's coming. I'm trying to show you the picture of the New Testament covering. I'm trying to show you the picture of what's coming down the road. I'm trying to show you a picture of the redemption that you're going to be able to have. But it wasn't free. It came with a price. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. John 6 and 51 says this, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh. The Lamb of God said that the bread he was going to give, the bread that would lead to life, would be his flesh, his sacrifice on that cross. It was by the sacrifice of that lamb. It was by him going on the cross and shedding that blood. Just like the lamb was sacrificed in the Old Testament, when that precious blood began to roll down that cross, that was the flesh he was talking about that he would give for the life of every person that would put their faith in it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood. Thank you, Jesus, for covering me. Some people want the benefits from the blood and the covenant, but they don't want the responsibility of the relationship. They want the blood from the lamb, but they want to take the lamb and pass it off. They want the protection. They don't want the death angel, but they don't want the obedience. They don't want correction. It's the world we live in today. Correction and obedience and submission, they're all bad words in the world we live in today. But I'm here to tell you that it's glorious when you covered with the blood of Jesus and you submit yourself unto him. He's not a taskmaster today. He's not going to beat you over the head with scriptures today. He's a king and he's a father and he's a provider. And he'll put everything in your life that you need. He'll give you everything that you need. He'll restore your relationship with your wife. He'll restore your relationship with your husband. He'll restore your relationship with your children. He'll give you back all the things that the enemy has stolen. I claim it in Jesus' name right now for somebody that the enemy has stolen some things. But the blood of the Lamb of the God is here, and he's going to begin to restore some things right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, right now, by the authority of God, Lord, begin to restore something right now. God, begin to move in somebody's mind and somebody's heart right now in the name of Jesus. Oh, there's somebody broken in the house today, but the Lamb of God is here to restore you. Behold the Lamb. Oh, see him today. See him today. He's in your midst. He's in your midst. Hallelujah. 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 I want you to know if something has been stolen out of your life, your kids, your marriage, your peace, your joy, I want you to know that when you call on the name of Jesus and you submit to the word and the principles of God, when you relinquish yourself, John said, disciples came to him and said, John, you're baptizing and Jesus is baptizing. Who's right? And in an opportunity for God, or for John, the one preparing the way for the Lamb to take a moment of glory for himself, he said, oh no, it's not me. I told you before, I'm just preparing the way. It's not me. The one that's coming after me is mightier than I, of whose shoes I'm unworthy to unlatch. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And I'm telling you that it's not about me. It's not about the ministry. It's not about the building. Oh, there's one coming that's mightier than all of that. And he's here to baptize with the Holy Ghost and with fire. He's here to set somebody free today in the name of Jesus. He's here to tear down some walls that have been up for a long time. I wish somebody right now would begin to proclaim that in the spirit right now. God, I've had some walls up for a long time. I've had some walls up for a long time. And I'm ready today, Jesus. I'm ready today, Jesus. Behold, the Lamb of God. I'm here to tell you, he's in your presence. He's in your midst right now. He's walking up and down these aisles. He's speaking to hearts right now about depression and about the things that bind you. Oh, lift your hands all across the building right now. If you'll release it, God will fix it. If you'll release it, God will set it free right now in the name of Jesus. If you'll release that problem, God will take it away right now. If you'll release that lifestyle, God will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. These altars are open right now. I feel the presence of the Mighty One in this place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody's here to be set free today. There's a power moving in this place. There's a power moving in this place right now. And I want you to know that before they left, God said, you've got to consume the lamb. The lamb was the fuel that they would need to leave Egypt. It says that they packed their unleavened dough and they ate that lamb. And there is no record, there is no biblical record of manna being poured out until after the Red Sea. So the only fuel that they had to get from their bondage to their deliverance was the consuming of the lamb. Oh, the only fuel they had was if they consumed the lamb. It was their power. And then I read this scripture that says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Judea and in all Samaria, and unto the othermost parts of the earth." And what was the representation of that power? The Bible records the Gentiles receiving the Holy Ghost and Peter giving the report. He said that while Peter yet spoke these words, he's given the report. Jews are going, "How can this be? They're Gentiles." He says, "The Gentiles have received the Holy Ghost also. It fell on them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many came with Peter, because on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard." The reason we know, the sign that they gave, the reason that I can report to you that they were filled with the Holy Ghost, "for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God." It was the report to the Jews. "I know they've received the Holy Ghost because I saw them lift their hands. I saw burdens begin to come off of them. And I heard them speak with tongues and begin to magnify God." And I'm telling you, that same power, it's not just a power reserved for the Bible. It wasn't just reserved for the apostles. There's an overflow today. This house isn't big enough for the lamb. This house twice this size isn't big enough for the lamb. There's an overflow happening right now. And I want you in these altars right now to begin to lift up your voices and begin to proclaim the name of Jesus and let those burdens begin to roll off of you right now. Hallelujah. Oh God, right now begin to move in these altars. Come on, let that faith rise in you right now. Lift your voice to the lamb that's moving in your midst right now. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, yes, come on, let that roll out. Let that sound begin to come out. It's a sign that God is moving. It's a sign that God is moving in our midst. It's a sign of submission. Oh, it's a sign of the power of God. Oh, behold the Lamb. Behold the Lamb. Behold the Lamb. Behold the Lamb! Come on, lift your voice. Lift your voice. There's people praying right now. It's maybe the first time they've been touched by the Holy Ghost. Come on, lift your voice. Lift your voice. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody, let the power of God begin to fall on you right now in this place. He's here to deliver. He's here to deliver. He's here to set you free. He's here to release your bondage today. Oh, let him do it right now.